I've been deeply connected to the Parsha this week. I find that when there is chaos and difficulty in the world outside me, I take so much solace in being able to be connected to something eternal. And so I'm so grateful to have really just been with Lech Lecha this week's reading, and not least because it's the beginning of our story, the beginning of the Jewish story, the story of so many people in this room, close to 3,500 years ago, when two people, Avram and Sarai, picked up from where they lived and moved to a new land, a land that they almost immediately left and then immediately came back to, one that they yearned for and fought over, everything that we've been doing ever since. And the whole story began with a blessing. Lech lecha me'artzecha u'memoladetecha u'mebet avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. You go from your country and from your motherland and from the house of your ancestors to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. Ve'escha le'goy gadol va'varchecha, and I'll bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, not so much. And all the families of the earth will bless themselves through you. That's the blessing from the beginning. And what's truly amazing about this blessing is how true it's turned out to be. We did become a great nation, not in size, in longevity. And we were full of blessings. And we have made a great name for ourselves, and spirituality, and wisdom, and learning, and civilization, occasionally our food. We have been a blessing. Those who invited us to thrive, well, they often thrived themselves. And those who are inimical to us, we have outlasted them all. And even that last and most chutzpahdik of the blessings about all the nations of the earth, families of the earth, blessing themselves by your name, how would a prosperous shepherder from over three millennia ago think about the fact that there are billions of people who call themselves part of the Abrahamic faiths? Now, if you hear me boasting or bragging as I say this, that's not what I'm doing. It's not my way. Because there's another piece of it that every Jew knows, which is that being Jewish is really complicated. Being Jewish means never being able to benefit from the genial indifference of the world. Somehow or another, the world always has an opinion about us and finds us out to tell us. One day, you're walking your dog and you find out that someone thinks that you own and operate a space laser. That's what being Jewish is like. We all know it. Later this afternoon, there's going to be a protest outside of the Brooklyn Museum on behalf of Palestinians in Gaza. And the majority of the people are there who are going to be there are there because they care about Palestinians. And not a small number, by the way, will be Jews, because one of the more interesting vagaries of our people is that we're actually on both sides of every debate, and not least when it's about ourselves. But some will be there because of a far older hatred, a far more insidious hate. And the reason I know this is because past has become prologue. It was there last week in Times Square too, what people chant and what they have on their phones. The hate that's been with us almost since our inception. And so the question is, what is it that we tell people like Zelig, who's sitting in front of us today, leaving his childhood behind him, about to become adult? What do we tell? How do we teach him? What do we tell him to do? How do we help him understand the complicated inheritance of what it means to be Jewish? All those kids, you guys over in the corner, how do we help you move over into the place of Jewish adulthood? To be a child is to be given to, and to be protected. To be an adult is to give and to do the protecting. How do we help you understand this most complicated part of our inheritance? How do we teach you what it means to be a Jew? What's not easy about this is that these children, soon to be adults, will always somehow or another be marked as different as we are. There will be moments where people know that they are unique because of their heritage, in which they stand out and that they have the gaze of others upon them, lying upon them. And the truth about being different, the truth about having the world look at you as different, is that that gaze has weight, it has pressure, whether it is genial or not, whether it is well-intending or not. And to be visibly different in any context, people who are know that, whether they are people of color, whether they are queer, whether they are Jewish, and I'm not conflating all these three. The thing that ties them all together is that you know what it's like to be stared at by the world at some moments in some capacity, and you know how that can lie heavy on you. What will you do with it? How do you bear up under it? What do we tell these kids about it? What I'll tell you is that when the rabbi saw this blessing, Lech Lecha, what they immediately started to do, interestingly, was count. There's something in the rabbinic mind that loves that kind of counting of the association with numbers. As they counted through, they saw that there were actually seven blessings, and that that corresponds with the seven times that the Holy One says, Ki Tov, that creation was good in the beginning. And that's so beautiful. And then Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who was one of the earliest of generations of the Hasidic Rebbes. He was famous for actually not taking a community himself, not being a Rebbe who had Hasidim, but rather a Rebbe who wrote his amazing book, the Kedushas Levi, a book of love. And he notes that there are three blessings in the beginning, the three that I read you at the top, that we'll become a great nation and be blessed and have our names be great. And he says, you know, this is like the three first generations of the Jewish people, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you know, it's not just about them as people, it's about the midot that they represented as human beings, that each one of them had a midah, which is best translated into English, although not fully, as a virtue. A part of their character that was not what they did so much as who they were, that changed how they were into the world, something that lived inside of them. Each of them had a special midah, and that's what the Holy One is blessing the Jewish people with in this moment. For Avram, it was love, and for Yitzchak, it was strength, and for Yaakov, it was beauty, ahava, vura, and tiferet. And Rav Levi Yitzchak says, this is what the truth of the blessing that's being given. Now, Chassidus is not particularly feminist, but there needs to be space, there is space, to be able to put feminism in it. And when we look at those first three generations, we also have to add the four mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And what's amazing about them is that their midot were often the complement to their partners, where Avram was love, Sarah was strength, and so on down. And so we need to add the whole of Jewish existence, the heritage of our people, into this formula. What I love most about the way that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak speaks about this and teaches about this is the way that with an outside pressure, he says that what you have to do is reach inside. And it's the cultivation of the inner spirituality that will counteract what's without. If you're around Romumu Brooklyn at all, you will start to hear about my hobbies. I have a bunch of them, and they tend to make their way into these Divrei Torah, into these teaching. And one of my hobbies is that I'm a scuba diver. And when you start to scuba dive, they have to sit you down in a classroom to teach you some of the physics, because the truth is that pressure is inimical to human life. We aren't designed to be 5 or 7 atmospheres under the waves. We're not really meant to be there. And so in order to see what humans were never meant to see, in order to breathe in a place that has crushing pressure, you have to know a little bit of science. And what they figured out was this, was that what they can do is they can,
In our ingenuity, we can put the wetsuit on you and put the flippers on your feet, right, and the mask on your face, but that the most important part is that we can take a tank full of air and we can fill it with pressurized air. And as long as the pressure on the inside is strong enough, as long as the air is strong enough on the inside, it will counteract the pressure from without. And that's how you'll live. That's how you'll thrive underwater, is when the inner strength is equal to the outer pressure. And so that's what we have to be telling these kids, and it's what we have to be telling ourselves. We have to cultivate the blessingness inside of us, the virtues, the character, the strength, the love, and the beauty. We cannot rely on an outside world to tell us who we are. It's almost as if we have to build an anatomy within our souls that can become stronger. This is how we should live. I want you to remember that what you are is unique and special. To be Jewish is to be beautiful. And the way that you harness that inside of yourself has the potential to shift the world on its axes for better. Shabbat Shalom.